And so we begin. This is broadcast number 604, July the 4th, 1983. And we usually begin this broadcast, the World Watches program. Oh, it's KAZU-FM, KAZU-FM, Pacific Grove, California. 1 year ago this evening, and the year goes fast, broadcast number 552, July 5th, 1982, I was talking about current coup d'etat that were almost to take place, but didn't. There was a report of a military coup in Iran that was stopped. The president of the Dominican Republic was shot to death. That was at the time that Edward Wilson had just come through the Dominican Republic, thought he would be safe, and was taken right from the airport to an American jail. There was a story in New York Times and San Francisco Chronicle by a fellow, Luke Thompson, who worked for Edwin Wilson, telling how the United States, the Defense Department, the CIA, the Special Forces accomplish coup d'etat and train killers. He was from the Special Forces Green Beret, and he told about being involved in the killing in 1965 of the Dominican Republic of the plans to kill Colonel Dino. In Bolivia, how the CIA murdered Che Guevara in 1967, and that, of course, involved Klaus Barbie down there working for the CIA from the time the war was over, the war criminal. And he told how the United States trains terrorists and military intelligence, a long article of his career as a killer from 1977 to 1982, his latest escapades. Che was killed in 1967. John Ehrlichman had a story in the newspaper that week, how I plotted Richard Nixon's death. Remember I said that the plans at the time of Watergate were to kill Richard Nixon, that he was too far left because he'd gone to China and the Soviet Union, and they wanted Spiro Agnew. Ehrlichman's attorney at the time of Watergate was Joseph Ball, and he was the attorney on the Warren Commission to cover up the murder of Kennedy, and also the attorney that John DeLorean hired and is working with now, his office, and will do more of that. A year ago this week, I was talking about John Belushi, the probe reopens. Can you believe it's 1 year that they said that they would open up again, Kathy Smith and the role in killing John Belushi, and this week they stopped the extradition. She's still up in Toronto, Canada. A year goes fast, and I believe, and I'll say it now, and I'll fill you in more in the weeks to come, that if they open the Kathy Smith cocaine connections, they'll tap right into Johnny Carson and John DeLorean. And next week, I'll go into the details of that. It's a complicated, long story. There's new articles out on DeLorean, but this is 4th of July, and, well, these broadcasts go east, and the holiday's long over. I don't want to tax the local people with anything that heavy on a holiday evening. Also, John Hinckley, the planned coup for the United States. There was an article about John Hinckley in the New York Times and his expenses and the doctors that worked with him, that worked with Arthur Bremer, the fellow that shot Wallace, and the psychiatric team from the past assassinations that was working with John Hinckley. Somebody asked me on a radio program in Los Angeles, I did a three-way call Sunday to Los Angeles, about the movie Taxi Driver that was inspired by, the writer was inspired by the diary that Arthur Bremer had at the time that he shot George Wallace and made the movie Taxi Driver, and then this allegedly triggered John Hinckley with Jodie Foster image of shooting Ronald Reagan. And was there a connection? Well, there is a linear connection between the doctors, the scripts, the intent, because as I mentioned last week, the Posse Comitatus that John Hinckley belongs to believes that Reagan is a pinko too far to the left, just as they, John Ehrlichman and company thought Richard Nixon was. And a year ago this week, we were talking about Roberta Calvi. He was hung in London, and Mrs. Calvi was blaming the Vatican and saying she thought they were involved in the murder of her husband. And there was a lot of controversy continuing on Raymond Donovan and whether he should be cleared of his links to the mob, and the San Francisco Chronicle and the wire services said there was insufficient evidence to link him to organized crime to remove him as being Secretary of Labor. And this week, Mr. Mullen is, I believe he was confirmed as head of the Drug Enforcement Agency, and he admitted that he lied to Congress a year ago that there were links of Donovan to the mafia and the organized crime. He lied then, and the Senate said, well, don't lie to us anymore. Just say you won't lie anymore. And Donovan is still Secretary of Labor. Does that make sense? If you ran a corporation or business and people were lying to you, when they're under oath to tell the truth, would you promote them? Well, they did. I have a friend who listens to the broadcast. She thought I was too hard last week on certain organizations such as Reverend William Potter Gale and the Ministry of Christ Church. That's the identity movement, and I think identity means identify, because he works with the Interpol, Nazi, Klan, Minutemen list of people who should be offed or watched. I talked about James Wickstrom, the head of the Posse Comitatus, who is, they're both part of the Christian Defense League. They actually, one's a reverend, and the other, they're linked to Christian churches. And she said, somebody may think that I am too anti-Christian, even though their names were in the Chronicle and the Associated Press and I Press. I wasn't singling out their religion. I was singling out what they do under the name of religion. But just to give equal time, I'll refer this evening to a book review. It's in the Soviet Union called Along the Road of Aggression and Racism. And it's about the role of Jews in Israel and Zionists being Nazis. It's by Ben Stein. And this is the story about the Soviet pamphlet Along the Road of Aggression and Racism. And the Soviet Union claims that the Jews, the Zionists, only allowed Jews to go to Palestine that became Israel. Otherwise, they had to be killed. That they only wanted the land, Jews to be taken, not to safety, but to Palestine, and that they worked with Adolf Hitler. Now, the reason I bring this up, in addition to equal time, is that I partly agree with this thesis. After studying Eichmann's work in the Middle East and Otto von Bolschwing and Himmler's role and Folk Bernadette, and Begin working with the Polish Gestapo and working with Mussolini's brown shirts. And it was Einstein who warned in the late 40s, never let a Menachem Begin be in Israel. That'll be the worst thing that happens for the Jews. And what's happening now are books such as this out of the Soviet Union. Here's some chapters. Business Built on Blood is one chapter. Cosmopolitans, The Gods of War. Another chapter, The Aggressor Deals in Arms. Israel's the third largest arm distributor in the world. Another chapter, Converting Jews into Dust. And this particular person describing the book in the LA Herald says, converting Jews into dust is the now familiar heartbreaking claim thought to be the only province of Nazis, that the Holocaust either never happened or was grossly exaggerated. A few quotes. This is the book. The Zionists exert the maximum effort in order to hide their criminal alliance with fascism in the past. Now, I agree 100% with that statement on everything. Every Zionist that I have personally known, and I'm going to make some Jews mad, but that's the way I see it. They are absolutely aligned with the most fascist causes in the world. To repeat, the Zionists exert the maximum effort in order to hide their criminal alliance with fascism and the past. The book goes on to say they unfold a campaign of corresponding falsification from the preparation of historical research. They falsify also by making in the United States historical films or TVs with a false nature of the Holocaust, which the pro-Zionist film studios make in the United States. Now, they make it appear that the Germans or the Americans freed the concentration camps. The Russians went in and freed the concentration camps. And the movies that I've seen on the Holocaust, except for a few occasional independent movies on, as I say, the Lebensborn or the blood types, the experiments of the Nazis, they actually do change the history. I have written, I have copies of letters to Jewish organizations, Jewish persons, about the FBI report that I got from the FBI that Joseph Mengele is an American citizen. Many of you know I've talked about it on the broadcast. A person who listened to these broadcasts in Sacramento was with Joseph Mengele in Honduras and with his uncle. And he sent for the papers from Freedom of Information because he wondered why the guy was never tried. And the answer his uncle said, and Joseph, who used another name, and it's in the papers, was because he was naturalized as an American and was joined the Gestapo, came to America like Dr. Urban, who worked with Errol Flynn, and then went back to recruiting for the Gestapo. Now, this book, these are some more quotes from the book, in quotes, the shameful speculation of Zionists at the expense of victims of Hitlerism throws into doubt that heralded figure of 6 million supposedly annihilated. This figure can't be verifiable. It is exaggerated 2 or 3 times by the Zionists. Now, that historical society, the far right-wing group down in Southern California, also says it didn't happen. My personal feeling, and I personally believe, that after contacting Jewish leaders in Israel, in Washington, in Los Angeles, Simon Wiesenthal himself, who I'm talking to, it isn't natural. It is not natural to hate so much the people that freed the camps. There is something wrong with the mechanism of survival. It just can't be so turned away that only the Russians are bad and only the German and Japanese and Italian Nazis today. Even Mr. Mendelssohn, a head of a Jewish organization that speaks for American Jews, and I'd written to him about Mengele's, and he lied in his letter to me. Mendelssohn had an article last week. I didn't bring it in tonight. And I can give you the date if you want to look it up in the Washington Post. Don't ask Klaus Barbie in France what happened after World War II. We have a limited budget in the United States. Let's deport a handful of Nazis here rather than spend money on finding Klaus Barbie's connections. Now, does that make sense to you? It does. If Klaus Barbie was a cocaine king, if he worked in Peru and Bolivia, if he worked with the CIA, if he had a shipping company, if he visited the United States sending arms all over the world, if he had the brides of death in South America, if he has 6,000 Gestapo armed in uniforms paid by American dollars, doesn't that interest you? If he travels to Germany, which he did, and he travels to the United States and he's paid a salary with your tax dollars, doesn't that it interests me? So why is Mr. Mendelssohn, a paid spokesman for the Jews, saying, don't worry about anything Barbie did in the past? To me, that is horrendous. Now, this book goes on to tell about the role that the Zionists has taken in hiding the Hitler movement for whatever reason. It says this document goes on to say that Hitler colluded with Jews to set up the State of Israel. Now, I know that is true. And that Israel exists as sort of a puppet rump state of the Third Reich. That's a quotation from the book. In a number of these documents of Hitler from 1937 to 38, it indicated that the migration of Jews through the Reich Bank, the money of the Reich Bank, that's Mr. Abst, who's now running the Vatican Bank, Mr. Hermann Abst, set aside special funds for Jews. And this was done for the purpose to create Palestine into a pro-Nazi Jewish state, and the leaders of Zionism strove to make that tragic situation, channeling Jewish immigrants only to Palestine. Now, I don't remember, maybe it was a year ago or a year and a half ago, I read to you a pathetic full-page ad written by people in New York City and Europe from Romania, the entire page of the wall of New York Times. Free, $50 a Jew for America, any other country in the world that wants them. That includes their transportation, their everything, passports and everything. If you give us $50, you can save one life. Otherwise, 2 million more will be killed. That 4 are dead, and 2 million more will be killed. Put up $50. I bet they didn't have 3 buyers. There wasn't a fund to save those people at all. Those 6 million in Romania went into the ovens, the remaining 2 million in that time period. And this book says that the Zionists were not interested in saving Jews. They only wanted, with the Reich Bank, to take Palestine. See, Britain had Palestine. So what they wanted to do was to take that piece of the Mediterranean away from Great Britain so that Begin could work with the brown shirts and the Nazis to help the Nazis take the territory away from Great Britain on the Mediterranean. This Ben Stein story says, in other words, the Soviet Union now says that Israel as a state is a Nazi state, and that has several implications. And he criticizes the Soviet book. He says the Soviet Union has long believed that the state of Israel has no right to exist, that it is no secret that the Soviet believes it is aimed at pleasing its Arab clients and generally stirring things up in the Middle East. I just read that the General Accounting Office lied to the American people about Israel invading Lebanon, and now they want $50 million because they were paid to invade Lebanon and kill out the PLO for Jamal and the dope-dealing families of the Falange Christian Party. I mean, the Jamal father worked with Adolf Hitler. He set up the Falange. He worked with the Grand Mufti. And I have a book on the Grand Mufti and Hitler. What in the heck is going on? If a Jew can't ask that question, there's no reason for a Gentile to ask it. It begins certainly with the Jewish conscience. When a country like Israel arms South Africa or Argentina, where the missing people are, or the Honduras now, bloodbaths all over the world, wherever there's fascism, there are Jewish weapons. There isn't a liberal country or a counter-revolution where the Jews help them. It is only to put in fascists. And this isn't new for people that have listened to me often, but I'm giving it more time than I was going. I was just going to read it in passing. But this book from the Soviet Union, which I indeed will send for, is very consistent with what I think Israel is about. It is a military base in order to make war against Russia. Now, you can add that up for whatever you want. That's what it is. And I can't describe some conversations I heard last week with, I was down in L.A. with some very prominent Jews, and one of them was of the opinion the way to handle the Jewish situation in our particular group is that Israel is the best bulwark against the Soviet Union over there, and therefore you should support it. And if we don't support it, our government will. And they sell weapons to fascist organizations, the Philippines, South Africa, Honduras, wherever there are repressions, wherever there is no freedom, wherever there are Nazis from Germany, Israel is right there with them. So I'll get the book, and I did want to share it with you because it's consistent with what I was talking about. Now, several weeks ago, a couple of times I mentioned the article in the Philadelphia Magazine that John Judge sent out, A World Without Grace, and it begins with certain questions that were not asked at the time of her accident and implies that they could have done more investigations on it. But this article, you can have a world without this story. It is a very superficial article. John was so excited when he saw it that he quick grabbed the issue, went to the place where they have copying machines, copied it, and sent it to me. And I appreciate the effort. Every once in a while, something that looks good, you really get taken by. It's a long article by a man who wrote about the Philadelphia connection to the Kennedy assassination, and it was really good. I promised I'd discuss this with you, but that subject ended as far as that goes. It's a terrible article, and it offers nothing. And so if you're waiting for it, I'm not going to talk about it. It has no new information that we would want at all. Now, a listener down in Southern California takes a magazine on technology. It's interesting. Her husband was a scientist for the space stations. I'll go into that story later. It's a long story. It's a new technology magazine. It's called Technology Illustrated. And last month in June, they had a story about G. Gordon Liddy and Mitchell Werbel and Gordon Novell. So in this issue of July of this technical magazine, Gordon Novell wrote a letter to the editor. And I think you can get by the tone of that what he's saying. Now, Gordon Novell worked in New Orleans. He was with William Seymour, who was the double of Lee Harvey Oswald. He was involved with the anti-Castro Cubans and men that I mentioned last week, Eugene Brading and William Seymour and so forth. And he was part of the assassination network team that Jim Garrison badly wanted to interview and get to the grand jury. Ronald Reagan would not send Eugene Brading to Bradley to New Orleans. And Gordon Novell fled at the same time, and he went to Ohio. And the governor there, the one who instigated the Kent State murders, Rhodes, he wouldn't extradite him. Novell worked for the CIA, and he wasn't extradited. But he's been floating around very prosperous, and his name surfaced again at the time of Watergate. He was hired by Charles Colson to take his radiation equipment and wipe out the Watergate tapes of Richard Nixon. Now, the Supreme Court said that he should turn over 9 tapes, and he turned over 7, and nobody asked about the others, and the tapes he had were really scratchy and hard to hear, so we don't know what Novell did, but he was very open about the fact that he was hired to wipe out evidence in a criminal matter that involved the President of the United States, or if it involved anybody else, the destruction of matter. But so he has long left Ohio. The case is over with Clay Shaw. And he's objecting to a story that was about him last month. But some of the sentences in this will be interesting to you, those of you who have studied the John Kennedy assassination and current story. He addresses it as master spies, having received your otherwise excellent article last month called The Master of Spy Tech by Vin McClellan, McLellan. It was the April issue of the Technology magazine in April of 1983, Technology Illustrated. Having received your excellent article, I would like to go on record with the following points to add to that article. Number one, the meeting I had with Mitchell Werbel, Gordon Liddy, and Colonel Allen Bell, that's his son, occurred at my request for unique but above board purposes. Now, Mitchell Werbel is the fellow I mentioned last week who comes out of DeKalb County, who has training camps for counter-revolution, who trains the special forces, who works with Larry McDonald, out of Murrieta, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, who designed the great silencers that are manufactured for assassination and coup d'etat all over the world. He's a white Russian czarist who has supplied arms for killing heads of states and counterintelligence for the Defense Department ever since OSS became the CIA, Mitchell Werbel. And Mr. Gordon Novell, this is years after the Kennedy assassination, the Jim Garrison request in 1967. He's with Lauren Hall. He's again with Gordon Liddy and Werbel's son, and this G. Gordon Liddy of Watergate, the Nazi from Watergate, Mitchell Werbel, and Gordon Novell are all buddies again this year and forever. So he mentions his company with those people. Number two, I won't go into all the points. He says, I'm a New Orleans entrepreneur. However, the U.S. Senate investigators consider me an expert on offshore banking and insurance. He's an electronic man. He works with the guys who do the hits. He's the expert, I guess, for Robert Vesco and Bernie Kornfield and the floating multinational offshore bankings and insurance. New Orleans entrepreneur. Three, he says, I have done ultra-high technology counterintelligence, such as the role in Watergate, to erase the White House tapes, as well as my substantive financial activities from 1973 to 76. He was involved in New Orleans trying to set up a World's Fair. So he admits his work is counterintelligence, high technology, and erasing tapes. You refer to G. Gordon Liddy and my experience. From having seriously contemplated, I thought of kidnapping Liddy from prison when I was informed by the White House that he could be assassinated by enemies in the Justice Department. So Novell is telling not how the prisoners would kill G. Gordon Liddy because of his work in the United States, but that the Justice Department had planned to murder him. In case you don't think they killed their own, he's describing it here. He said, I have honorably worked for three presidents of the United States in the covert capacity of a special consultant in matters of ultra-high technology intelligence. I wonder who the three presidents were. If he was working for Kennedy, he didn't kill Kennedy. So was it Johnson and Ford, Lyndon Johnson and Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford? He says, I've honorably worked for three presidents in covert capacity, special consultant, ultra-high technology. And he says, Colonel Bell always knows where to reach me. That's Mitchell Werbel's son, and they have a shooting compound and ranch in Texas and one in Georgia. Colonel Bell can always reach me. And then he asks them to apologize for some things in the letter, or he'll sue them. He says, in the business game of life, it's your move, signed Gordon Novell. And his address is Force One Limited, Chairman Emeritus, New Orleans, Louisiana. Isn't that a pack of nerves? Incidentally, when Rush Harp was in Texas, he was close to a researcher there who's well-known, a woman there, and Gordon Novell and Bernard Fencerwald were close friends of hers. I stayed a long distance from her. In fact, as I was in Texas, Penn Jones told me, stay away from her, and I did. And then later people wondered, why didn't you see her? Novell frequented her home, as did Bernard Fencerwald. I've had nothing to do with Nobel or their Connor Mitchell or Bill, but here I read you the essence of the letter to the editor to show you the company they're keeping. Now, to update you on Western goals, and the, it should be the biggest spy story in the United States. It's quietly sitting. I haven't updated it. It's the story of Western Goals, a corporation run by Larry McDonald, I call him Murder Incorporated, out of Atlanta, Georgia. His offices are in the East now with a giant computer, and on the board of Western Goals are people like Admiral Moore and chiefs of staff and military people and Roy Cohn. It's a cross-section of the syndicate, the mob, the spy teams with his assistant Louise Reese and John Reese of the Christian Digest, and I want to do a lot more on them too. And the scandal came out just a short while back ago that their computer data was being fed not only to the Los Angeles Police Department, but to a private office of a member of the police department. Material that should have been destroyed was in the garage of J. Paul of the LAPD, long order described on lists of people who should be under surveillance by the police department on their own who have not committed crimes. This last week, the Los Angeles police had a story. Police spy case figure is silent about his activities. He's still not talking. The Los Angeles police detective, who's a key figure in the ongoing investigation of alleged illegal spying by the Los Angeles Police Department, refused Monday to answer any questions. Detective J. Paul gave a deposition for the American Civil Liberties Union on his illegal spying in Los Angeles. The police commission ordered the disbanding of the investigative committee called the PDID, that's the Public Disorder Intelligence Division, after allegations the unit was involved in widespread spying on individuals and political action groups, and these are judges, politicians, police critics. The police department's internal affairs officers started investigating where the files were and found more than 100 boxes of intelligence files in the home and garage of J. Paul, whose wife had a $100,000 computer linked to Western Goals in Virginia. The materials included folders on police commissioners, judges, politicians, police department critics. Later it was learned that Paul ran a computer system on the side for a private data bank run by Western Goals Foundation. Questions have been raised as to whether he channeled the police intelligence into the private data bank the tax-exempt Western Goals Foundation created in 1979, along with right-wing John Bircher, Representative Larry P. McDonald from Georgia. That's a Democrat from Georgia who is the co-partner and worker with Mitchell Werbel. And you see the company that Werbel has with Liddy and Novell, the old hit team. You can imagine how long a critic from the Los Angeles Police Department would last or get a job with this information and these floating hit teams. Last month, Police Chief Daryl Gates was called to give depositions. When asked if he had any reason to believe that J. Paul shared his police intelligence with Western Goals, Gates told the ACLU, "I think there is certainly enough to give us a reasonable suspicion he may have." Now, once it's in the computer, how can you get it out of that computer? It can be taken out and put into another computer, and I believe it'll go down to Austin, Texas, to Bobby Inman's computer for sure, or the computers up at Mr. Wickstrom's farm in Wisconsin, run by the Posse Comitatus. They have computers up there, so they can take it out. But the point is that it went into the hands of Western Goals. There was a marvelous review of Seymour Hersh's book on Henry Kissinger and the slimy activity. I may have time to get into it. That was going on in the White House and betrayal of each other. And one of the worst people involved was Admiral Moore, who was stealing from Richard Nixon's desk with the help of Kissinger, that they had no loyalty to each other. Well, Admiral Moore is on the board of Western Goals along with our great space scientist, Mr. Teller, who wants the nuclear bombs and keeps track of the people who don't like nuclear bombs. That's where the information goes. As I said before, he designs the bomb, and if you don't like it, your name gets into a computer. We're going to take a one-minute break now, and I'm going to ask you to give to the station. Have you sent in any money? I haven't asked. There's some programs, and I don't know if you're sending contributions or not. I hope there's a lot of checks coming in.